Hey, it's Tiff.
And Taz.
Besties, cousins, and are running through the maze of motherhood and life together.
We are those oversharing mum friends you can chat, vent, laugh, or cry to.
So if you need somewhere safe, where the judgment is left at the door, make yourself comfortable. We will be chatting everything mum life, from the small wins to the chaos and the craziness in between. Let's jump into it. Hello, guys. Welcome back to this Wednesday's episode.
Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday.
So by the time you're hearing this, Tassie would have had her first 2 days back at work after mat leave.
I know. It's pretty much been 3 years off. I did go for back to work for a couple of months in between two babies, but I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I've got some anxiety issues going on right now. Super happy to be going back, but also obviously such a change of lifestyle. The things you take for granted aren't going to be there anymore. So it's going to be an adjustment, but I am excited to go back.
And to get back into the workforce, figure out what you've missed out on,
yep.
Learn how to talk to people that aren't too.
Honestly, I don't know how I'm going to handle it because people probably notice in this podcast, I will be saying a sentence and then I will never finish a topic because I go off in like three different other sentences. So one full sentence, I honestly start like three separate in one full one. I don't know if you've noticed that, but my brain doesn't work.
I don't
properly.
Think what you said even made sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
So you've got three topics going on and none of them coming out to completion, but I can't comment. I'm exactly the same. I cannot stay on track.
Children, they kill your brain.
For real. Brain cells fried, like actually fried.
Yes. Yes. But anyway, it's going to be a hectic life. We will have to get used to a new routine. We've just bought a house as well. So we're renovating a different house. Both working full time. So it's going to be a bit crazy, but we will get there.
Yeah. Anyway, so this week's episode is all about our tips we've gathered on surviving the newborn days.
So a little advice from us. And again, if you don't want the advice, don't take it. But it's always nice maybe to have it in the back of your head. If you are listening to this and you have a newborn at the moment or up late feeding, we feel you. We feel you. We have been there.
It's hard to forget those days.
It is really hard to actually, it's hard to forget, but then it is easy to forget as well, I think.
I remember being that delusionally tired.
Yeah, I do.
And I've got a lot of friends having babies right now. Like I've had one friend
you
just have a baby and I've got most of my absolute closest friends are about to give birth. So this is my subtle way of giving them unsolicited advice.
Yeah. Don't know how to actually give advice in person without feeling guilty. So, guys, listen to us now.
Oh, yeah. This is directed at you. All right. So this first point, obviously, in my head must have been the most significant thing I wasn't prepared for because anytime anyone asks me about the newborn days, this is the one thing that is like PTSD. It's stuck in there. That is cluster feeding. I was not prepared for that.
I don't think I've ever gone through cluster feeding, but we also had two very different breastfeeding journeys. I had troubles with both my babies learning to feed. So I expressed and they were bottle fed for the first month.
Right.
I've never gone through the cluster feeding. And what I thought was cluster feeding was bub not feeding correctly and couldn't get enough. So he was continuously on the breast. So talk about what cluster feeding, what did you experience?
So cluster feeding started, I can't remember, maybe like a few days after getting home, and bub would just start feeding at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and would still be feeding on and off until 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And during that time, like it was constant. If I tried to put it down, she would cry. If I gave it a look, she would cry. And it was genuinely, she just wanted milk. And I spoke to my midwife who would visit almost every day at that point. And she said, no, cluster feeding is completely normal. It is just baby's way of regulating supply, getting into a rhythm, you know, like getting the right amount of milk down. And that would go on for weeks or it had stopped for a little while. And when demand would change, she would cluster feed again. And both girls have done that. I don't think Thea was anywhere near as bad as Pippa. And having said that, Pippa did have a tongue tie.
Yeah.
But yeah, those cluster feeding days with Pippa were intense. I think it would be like most nights I was just stuck on the couch with her for a good 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's hard as a first time parent too, because you don't know what's normal and you're wondering why baby is feeding. You're stuck on a couch. Like it's such a change in your normal that you like, I imagine sitting on a couch for 5 hours, you would be going, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Like you would never do that before, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're so sore and cracked nipple. Yeah. Like I personally had such sore, cracked nipples because of the tongue tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard. That was hard.
Yeah, that sounds really difficult.
Yeah. It's just draining, I think, and you're recovering and feeding and just producing milk is tiring on the body. So
definitely. Yeah. And I think a good point to just start with, we will just address this now. We aren't lactation consultants. We aren't medical professionals in any way. This is purely our advice, okay? Our opinion and our advice.
Our experiences, yeah.
Yeah.
So my tip for that one is, if you're coming into newborn days and you are thinking, wow, this child will not stop feeding, it's probably cluster feeding. Get yourself prepared. If it usually happens like around the same time of day. So get prepared. Have a water bottle ready. Have whatever you're going to need, burp cloths. Have an excellent show prepared because you'll be sitting down for a while.
So I think these lead, I've got 3 points that lead onto this one advice. And it's, as you said, and we also had a lot of people write this in our question box saying your advice, it is set up feeding stations.
Yes.
So wherever you may be, there might be one in your room, the nursery, the lounge room, wherever you may be frequently during the day, set up stations that have your water bottle, lip balm, burp cloths, nappies, your pump if you're expressing.
Phone charger.
Yeah. Anything like that you know you will use, especially water and snacks, because you might be stuck under a baby and don't want to move to wake him or her up. So definitely have stations.
Yeah. And off that, water. I don't know if this is the same for everyone, but I know for me in those early newborn feeding days, I was thirsty. And if I let down, the thirst was just insatiable. I would have to, Luke, bring water. Like now I'm dying of thirst. Did you have that too?
Yes. And water is so important for your supply too. Important. That's one of the, like a main thing to keep your supply up, to drink a lot of water. So I was so thirsty. And I don't, like, if you have a filter or whatever, awesome. But if you're in a situation or in a situation where you can buy bottled water, I found it so handy just to have bottles of water, because I know I'm lazy and filling up my drink bottle. So to be able to just grab a drink bottle from the fridge is just a lot easier. Now, another thing to go off this, and this is probably one of my biggest advices that I would probably give, and it is in regards to cluster feeding and not knowing what's happening. My one thing that I preach is to get a lactation consultant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you can start this preparation when you're pregnant, just like seeking out, whether even if it's on a Facebook, finding good Instagram pages that you know are trustworthy, you know, consultants and professionals
that are qualified.
Definitely qualified. Yeah. Or finding someone in town. Now, I know people might go, that's too expensive or whatnot, but there are free lactation consultants.
Absolutely. Yeah.
At your nurse clinics, your health clinics, and things like that. So seek out a lactation consultant, even if you don't have problems, just to get advice and make sure you know things are going okay. Or especially if you think something's up, get help straight away. There's no point waiting, because that could be, you know, the difference between your journey, breastfeeding journey ending and not ending, if that's what you want to do, obviously.
Absolutely. If I didn't know Pippa had a tongue tie, so she was diagnosed, like they identified the tongue tie in hospital. Mm-hmm. I think if they hadn't identified that and I'd come home without knowing it was going to be cut at 1 week, if I'd gone home through that 1 week and not known that, it would have been very easy to give up and say, this is too hard.
Yeah.
It was so painful.
Mm.
But because I knew it was, there was light at the end of the tunnel, I knew it was going to get corrected. It was okay to continue.
100%. And the same with Lincoln, with my journey with Lincoln. If I hadn't had a lactation consultant, there's no way I could have continued, because he physically wasn't getting enough milk because he wasn't latching properly. I had an oversupply, so it wasn't the supply issue, but it was the fact he wasn't latching. So he wouldn't have had, he wouldn't have thrived or grown. So I would have had to end up going a different route, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But I saw a lactation consultant, I'm going to say for 5 months, and I saw her every single week for 5 months.
Wow.
Not because I needed to after the 3 month point, but just because I felt at ease in my mind going in. She just watched me feed for a couple of minutes, just measured him. And then I went home, and it just gave me ease of mind. So that's me being a little bit paranoid as well, but it honestly just saved me. And also the knowledge for your second, third, fourth child, Lily was special care. So I had to breastfeed a preemie and teach a preemie to breastfeed. And I did it on my own because of all the knowledge I had from the lactation consultant. So it's just the world of knowledge that you get from it as well, I think, is beneficial.
Yeah. And the quicker you get the help or get the guidance, the less time you spent worrying.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you do live rural, like both of us do, I don't, at the moment, I don't think we have a lactation consultant in town, but there are definitely, as you said, Instagram pages and so many hotlines to call for breastfeeding assistance.
Yeah, there's the Breastfeeding Association hotline and places like that. We will put them in our show notes because there are a couple, and we also know a few good Instagram lactation consultants that everything they say is honestly what I think Bible.
Absolutely.
So we will definitely share those.
Next up, but probably most important, is to have your support network set up ahead of time. So have your trusted people, knowing that you may call on them.
So having those people that you know and trust, even if it's, you know, just for someone to listen that you know is non-judgmental, even people that you know are mums that are non-judgmental that will listen, that could offer potentially good advice if you're struggling. Support networks, like as we talked about, your professionals as well, having those ready.
Yeah. So as Mandy said before, having your support network set up with your lactation consultant, your women's health physio, your support hotlines, have those numbers prepared beforehand, because once you've had a newborn, you're so tired. You're not thinking of those things.
Yeah. The episode we did with Mandy, who is a postpartum doula, episode 8, has a whole heap of information about getting the right support network and making sure you're comfortable and happy with your support network. So if you need and want to know more about that, head over to episode 8 and there's a whole episode.
Definitely. And something Mandy mentioned, and I think is very, very important, and something I wish I did, was to set boundaries ahead of time. So setting the boundary that please text me before you come. Mm-hmm. You do not want surprise visitors with a newborn. I had this. I think it was Luke's very first day back at work. I was dead tired. As you know, like you've had newborns or right now you might have a newborn. It is so hard. And anyway, I was on the couch. I had just put Pippa down and I knew she wouldn't sleep for long because she never did. And I was on the couch. I had just closed my eyes. I was falling asleep and my back door opened. And I'm like, mate, please. I'm not going to throw that person under the bus. But the one time I was about to get some sleep and my someone came in, and I was like, no, I need to have a sign. If you haven't text, go away.
Yeah. I feel I'm quite good at setting boundaries, but I'm quite assertive when it comes to things like this. But I'm like really big on the vaccinations, whooping cough and things like that.
Oh, so, yeah. Those boundaries were easy to set.
Definitely. Yeah. So make sure you stick to everything, even in regards to like food, once bub starts solids and all that. If you have certain things that you want and you have your boundaries that you want, stick to them, because I have no regrets, because, you know, if you have a boundary, someone pushes them, you don't say anything, and then you might think about it and feel guilty for like months of bed. But for months, anyway, I do. I get like an
angry thought. Not everyone's as crazy as that.
Yeah, well, I think about it for months. I'm like, I should have said something. So say something and you won't have regret. Now, while we're talking about support networks, a massive thing which I struggled at is if someone offers to cook for you, to bring you food, says, hey, do you want a coffee? I'm driving by. Don't say no. Just say yes if you want something. Like,
and if someone's
people want to do it.
Yeah. If someone's offering, they want to help you.
Yeah. I had people that did drop off food, but I know I had a few people that asked if, you know, hey, do you want me to make you a spaghetti? And I would say no. And then I wouldn't eat that night because I didn't have food. So say yes.
Say yes. If someone says, I'm on my way, do you need anything? Say yes. You want a coffee? Say, hey, could you get me a coffee? Or just do it. Like those newborn days when people are doting on you don't last forever.
Definitely. And I remember a few times I did say yes to certain things. Like I think I need to like hydro discs for my breast or something. And usually I would say, oh no, but I said, hey, would you mind going to the pharmacy and getting me these? And they did. I'm like, life changed.
And
life
I swear, changed. You will never be as loved as you are when you have a newborn.
Oh my goodness. And first time mum, especially. Oh, first time mum. Oh, no one cares about your second time.
No, they don't. When, like I know having friends that have had babies or they're about to have babies. Like you care so much about someone that's just become a mum because you know how hard it is.
I know. And especially, you give what you would want as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And especially having been there, done that twice, you know exactly what they need, what they want, when they need to be left alone. So, yeah, say yes to the help because as a mum friend, I want to help, you know.
Yes. Or if your friends don't have children, this might be their opportunity to actually be in that sort of realm. So maybe they want that too. okay, this should have been said in the station section, but have headphones always on charge. If you've got your AirPods, make sure they're charged. If you've got normal headphones with the cord, annoying. Especially with the baby. Yes. So annoying.
So I didn't have AirPods.
Neither, not with Lincoln because they weren't around.
Oh my God. My AirPods just got stood on the other day. I'm currently without AirPods and I can't do it.
I guess that Thea did this. Yeah, she's literally an AirPod thief.
She stood on it and seemingly one doesn't work for birthday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But do you know how hard it is to run on a treadmill with old school headphones? Goodness,
I think I threw mine out.
Torture. Wow. Actual torture. such a privileged life. And going off that, if you don't currently have wireless earbuds or headphones, put it on your wish list for a push present because they are game changer.
100%. No babies grabbing cords or them in their baby. I remember resting my cord on Lincoln's face at one point, I'm pretty sure.
Well, with Pippa, I didn't even use headphones. I just had my phone on silent trying to stay awake for night feeds, not listening to anything.
I know, but it's weird how times change in regards to like Netflix so accessible on phones and social media and stuff. Yeah, like I think it's so a lot more than 4 years ago with Pippa.
And like I know my mum said she would watch football. Like she wasn't a football fan, but she would put the TV on at 4 o'clock in the morning to keep my little brother, like if she was feeding him or to keep him entertained. So with the rest of us.
Their TV back then?
So yeah.
No.
Stop it. Stop it. That's only 99. Go on.
Now, okay, my favorite point, and this is not anything smart related at all. You need to have a TV show. A TV show will get you through the hard of times. I can honestly say TV shows got me through Lily's hospital. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this in one of past episodes, so I won't go on, but have a TV show that you can binge because I promise you, even waking up, you'll be excited to wake up in the middle of the night because yes, I can watch my TV show, honestly.
Absolutely. And I'll give some recommendations, but I can guarantee you've already seen these because I am so late to the game. But my recommendations for some easy watching would be Virgin River. If you have watched it, rewatch it. So good. Chesapeake Shores is another really good one. Vampire Diaries, because I'm obsessed. And I've just started Gossip Girl. Like how many years 20? Late? How many? 20? No, not even.
10 at least.
But just something, you know, even the Gilmore Girls, just something that you know you're going to love. It's not going to trigger anything. You're just easy watching. Mm.
There's so many. Oh, man, we should do a post on TV shows, honestly. I'm your gal. I've been watching shows flat for the past 3 years.
And I would say listen to an audiobook, but if I listen to an audiobook at nighttime, I would just fall asleep. And then the next day I'm like, oh, where was I up to? So I think you have to have something visually engaging to be able to stay awake at night.
People like podcasts. People can be engaged with podcasts. So listen to our podcast, guys.
At 3 o'clock in the morning when you're feeding your beautiful baby. Yes. On that, when you are awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, just remember that there are literally millions of other mums awake with you.
My favorite thing, honestly, it must have been with Lincoln, I was up at night and I saw this meme sort of thing and it showed like a mum awake in a window with the light on and around the world there was heaps of other lights on. And it really hit home for me that I was sitting there dreading night times. And I was just like, there are millions of other women or even men that are feeding their children right now awake. You are not alone. Yes. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. I remember when I had Thea, I think it was the midwife mum. I had a baby at the same time. And every night during her night feeds, she'd put up a Instagram story saying, if you're awake, I'm awake too, feeding my baby. And it just does. It's just, there's so much strength in community and knowing you're not alone.
Definitely. I had a friend that had a baby similar time as me, actually. And we would be talking when we wake up, like, hey, I'm awake for a feed. And we'd message each other, which is nice.
Right now, I have a friend that's got a brand new baby. And I wake up in the morning to Snapchats of her updates through the night. Oh, bless. So hard.
One of my favorite sayings as well is the days are long, but the years are short. And oh my God, the amount of time I wished away when Lincoln was a newborn, you know, dreading the nighttime or even like wanting the days to go quicker so I could get to sleep. And then you look back and you're like, it was such a short time but it felt like it drags, but it's such a short time.
The days are so long.
Hey? Yeah. I always dreaded nighttime. I remember when the sun came up, I felt like a new person because the nights are so long and then the sun would come up and I'd feel like a new person. And then it would come to like 5 o'clock at night and I would dread nights. I don't know if you were the same.
I think not so much, because I think at nighttime, because Luke was home from work, there was someone there. There was someone that if I was about to break down in tears or I was feeling at my wit's end, at least there was someone to help. I think what I struggled with the most was when he'd go to work at seven, back when he worked in town, he'd go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I swear the days were so long to getting to 3 o'clock when he'd come
home.
So
we were opposite pretty much.
Yeah, opposite, I guess.
Yeah. Just looking back for as a first time mum, you know, not having the knowledge, that much knowledge of anything that you experience for the first time, it's so easy to, I think, dread the whole newborn days. And they get a bad rap, I feel, that newborn days are the worst. You know, oh, look, you know, you've got newborn days to look up to. I can honestly say that I love newborn days. After you have your second and you're more confident, newborns are my favorite. I would wake up at any time of the night for a newborn and it doesn't faze me anymore. But for first time, it is extremely hard.
And it's daunting. Everything is fresh and new. It's something you've never done before. You're tired on a level you've never experienced. And you don't know what you're doing. Like, it's everything's guesswork.
Yeah. And as you said, you're doing it yourself. At least during the day when you wake up, your partner might be home or your mum, mother-in-law might pop over. So at least you could be like quickly, hey, is this how I swaddle, for an example? But at night, you're on your own swaddling.
But it's something I say to friends is that I don't think there's a time in your life that is ever, there's nothing as intense in every aspect as having a newborn for the first time.
Yeah, it's intense.
Or just becoming a parent. It's intense. Yeah. Intense in like intense love, but intense, holy hell, this is crazy.
Yeah. Just the hormones, I think, like so much stuff. This is like, I won't go into it too much because this is more like your survival, but there is so much hormonal stuff that you just don't know about, to the fact of night sweats, your nightmares that you wake up thinking that you've suffocated your child, like falling asleep or something. It's
where is my baby?
Exactly. All of those hormonal things that the emotions, like there's just so many intense emotions. You cannot prepare someone. And like, there's no point even trying to explain it because
The intense, you know, you're going to love your child, obviously, but that intensity is just like you have that child and you know you'd kill someone to protect them. Like,
yeah, it's almost unbearable, I think. Like, but there's just so many thoughts that go through and it's just almost unbearable, the love.
That's what they say. Your child is your biggest liability and your biggest vulnerability.
In saying this, though, I do also want to address the other side of this in regards to not connecting to your baby straight away. Because this is also so, so normal. And I know it's also quite common. I've had friends that have said this. And I can also say that I had this with Lily as well. I didn't see her for the first 24 hours and I didn't really get to connect with her for like maybe a week or so. So I had this, but some people, and it's completely normal, don't connect to their baby and they don't feel anything because I think it's such a shock and it doesn't register that you've had your baby. And you don't connect. So if you don't agree with our last stuff and going, oh, okay, I didn't feel that, totally normal.
And I can say that I definitely, through pregnancy, my first pregnancy, I struggled to, like, I know people say I love being pregnant, feeling baby move. I definitely had the thoughts of, what if I'm not a good enough mum? Like, am I even meant to be a mum? Like, I was seriously doubting everything through my first pregnancy. Like, I'd planned to have a child, but I was like, am I going to have a connection with my baby when she's born? Or and I didn't know what the gender was. But so I definitely had that feeling of, what if I don't get a connection? So I don't think I felt the connection through pregnancy until birth.
Yeah, okay. I felt connections during pregnancy, but also it's just all the hormones as well. Like, it can either go one way or the other, I think. And both are so normal to connect, to not connect. And you eventually connect once you build those bonds with your bub.
That's what they say. You've never met this person before. You don't just see a stranger on the street and fall in love instantly. You've got to get to know your child. Getting back to the things you can do to prepare if you're just about to have your baby is to have snacks ready to go. Because I know a lot of people, if they're not there, you just won't eat. And it's so important to keep your sustenance up while you're trying to look after a human.
Definitely. Easy to reach snacks. Even like I always pre-bake, not now. I mean, not before babies, but now for kids. And it's just easy. So I'm like, that would be good for a newborn parent. Pre-cooking and baking muffins and freezing them and then just zap them in the microwave for a minute and you've got a muffin, like winning.
Like mini quiches, anything high protein that's going to get you through the next few hours. Yeah, but same. I did not do this before Uber at all. This is why we're doing this podcast, because this is the stuff we legitimately wish someone had said, listen to this before I had a baby.
I know. Look, I was planning to, but baby came early, so I didn't get to. If people tell you to do it, just for food, just do it. Have your snacks ready. So this also comes down to, like, if you already have a child, in regards to meal prepping, meal prep some food for your other children. Have lunches made already, even if it's like prepping sandwiches and freezing them, your muffins again, things like that that are easy. Have them ready in the freezer for your children in case you're busy.
And on that, a massive tip, if you're in hospital and you know you're going to be home on Wednesday in the afternoon, do an online grocery order either for someone to click and collect and pick up for you and deliver to home, or have it delivered to home when you're ready to go, especially if you've already got kids. Because I know as a mum, knowing your kids' meals for me is a massive stress. I need to know 6 meals in advance what my kids are going to be eating. Otherwise, I just stress about it. So I'm sure a lot of you are the same.
Yeah. And in your stations, we talked about having feeding stations, maybe even have like an activity in there for your eldest child. Because I remember Lincoln always sat at my legs when I fed Lily. And, you know, you just put a newborn down and then they talk or, you know, do something loud. And then baby wakes up. So I think have something quiet for them to do, even if it's like a little draw, like a book or something that they can draw in or something, so they can do that by your feet, not just sit there and
or even a snack or something, anything to keep them busy. And one last thing I have to say is if you've got friends coming over and that you're visiting your newborn, get them to take photos of you with your baby. I would love to have more photos of me at home with a newborn. I mean, I would have looked like trash, like actual death, but they were such special days.
I'm the same. I remember one person came over and was taking photos of me holding Lincoln when I was just on the couch. Again, look like trash. but, yeah, I always look back at those photos and I go, oh, I wish more people did that.
Yeah, it's a very memorable time for many, many reasons.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I did have two other things in relation to newborn survival advice, I guess, and it's to remember that every phase ends in regards to your painful phases, you know. An example, 4-month regression, when baby's not sleeping, like it ends. Every phase ends. They might be teething for a week. It will end. Yes. Always remember that.
So I'll just go through some of the wonderful comments we've had from mum sending in their tips for having newborns. And I've just realized my Woolies idea came from one of our guests.
I did think that.
I didn't register until I've just read it. So thank you, Shannon. Okay. So we had lots of suggestions of setting up your night spaces, your nappy changing supplies, bottles of water. So one really important one we had was find something for yourself that sparks joy. Sleep deprivation can hit hard. So that's such an important one. Find something that you know will make you feel like yourself, or something that you know is going to give you a hit of the happy hormones.
TV show, guys.
Yeah. Damon Salvador, like, who else do you need?
Sparks joy.
Listen to your instincts. That is such a good one. And that's something I firmly believe in. You know your baby best, and you know your baby better than anyone.
100%. 100%. Listen to your instincts. They're usually right.
Yep. And this mum also said, don't stress about sleep training your newborn child. A newborn isn't meant to sleep independently. That's a good point. They're not. They don't know how to sleep yet. They don't know routine. They're only such tiny human beings.
Exactly. If you feel pressured to be sleep training a newborn or anything like that and you don't want to, don't do it. You don't have to do it.
And on that, most sleep consultants will not talk to you until 4 months old. The baby's 4 months old. They're just too little. Don't be thinking your child has to be sleeping through the night at 6 weeks old. It's not even normal to be doing that. Like, they'll sleep eventually, maybe when they're four.
Literally. They will literally sleep when they are developmentally ready to sleep.
So at four, my child is developmentally ready to sleep. And now that she's sleeping really well, she's getting nightmares. So look, it's always something new.
You've been sleep deprived for the past 4 years. We are speaking to the expert, guys.
I have been very sleep deprived for the last 4 years. Oh, love this. Drop all of your expectations for doing any housework or pick up one thing to do for the day. Such a good idea. Set yourself a goal to wash the towels, maybe. Stuff everything else. The housework will wait. Your newborn baby is a newborn baby for such a short time.
Yeah, I wish I took that advice. And even if I had that advice, I wouldn't go back and do it again because it's just not my personality. I just get anxiety with mess. But
yeah, and that something for me is that a tidy home sparks joy. If it's tidy, I feel mentally clear.
All these things kind of link, like having you know, putting aside the housework, this could also come into setting boundaries, as in people don't come over uninvited. We had people come over like all the time, which I don't care because they were family, so it didn't matter. But I'm a person that has to have a clean home when people come over. That's just me personally. Me too. So I didn't know when people were coming, so my house had to be clean 24/7, and that's not feasible with newborns.
No, and absolutely, I would make sure my house was perfect before the midwife came.
Mate,
my midwife
same.
The most down-to-earth, I know, beautiful human. But Luke and I would be like, she'll be here in half an hour. Quick, I've got to have a shower. Mm-hmm. I haven't showered for 2 days. Like, let me go put some makeup on. I'm like, she's my midwife.
And think of
she
what they, yeah, think of what they've seen as well. Like, it'd be way worse than what, you know.
Don't be like us.
I know. Honestly, that's the one problematic thing that I can think of in regards to, like, your midwife care for the 6 weeks, that they can come to your house if you want to, because like you said, I would be a maniac baking for them. Like, they wanted a cookie.
I did not bake. Okay. I did not bake for my midwife.
No, I baked a few times.
just so your house smelled like a perfect
mess. Yeah. Who is this baking perfect person dying inside?
She knows you're dying inside. Yeah. Your midwife is like, this idiot, put on makeup. No, I mean, what the hell?
But honestly, the thing is, my midwife knew as well. And she said, like, she would be so telling me not to do it. She's like, Tasman, I don't care. Like, you're not meant to be doing all this thing. And they understand, they try and tell you, but still, or if it comes down to, if that's what you want to do, do it. Like, cleaning sparks joy for me. But yeah.
And one last one. This beautiful mama said to plan to just sit on the couch and cuddle your baby. The newborn stage will literally fly by. Oh, so that's goodness. It. If you've got, you're going to make me cry. I miss my newborns.
I know. So newborns are the cutest.
I got to cuddle a newborn today.
Yeah. So. Rude.
But yeah, that's right. They do just fly by. Sit on the couch, take lots of photos.
Smell your child.
Soak that baby up and smell that beautiful baby hair.
Speaking of baby smell, really quickly, I am currently in the process of going through baby stuff and deciding what I want to sell, get rid of, etc. And I opened a box of onesies that hadn't been opened since Lincoln was a baby. They were 4-0 sizes. And the smell that wafted out was like pure newborn. And I quickly closed the lid because I'm like, I'm keeping this shut for life. And I'm just going to quickly open it every now and then and just smell it. But honestly, it smells like baby. And even Lily right now, she just went up a new size in onesies. So I use Lincoln's old ones that are okay to be used because I save buying them, obviously. And they smell like, even though they're size 0, they still smell like baby. And I don't know if they just, if they still smell like that or not, but I can smell baby still. So when I was cuddling her tonight, she smelled like a newborn Lincoln.
I have a weird attachment to Pippa's newborn onesies.
Oh, don't even get me started, Tiffany.
And I'm saying Pippa's because I use the same ones for Thea because I was so attached to them.
Yeah.
And they hold so many. How can a piece of clothing hold so many memories?
So many. Yeah, Lily's in one of Lincoln's onesies at the moment. So it's got like motorbikes and stuff all over it. And it's a weird attachment because when I was holding her, all I was thinking of like when he was wearing it, and then I'd go back in photos and compare them. There's such a, it was so nostalgic. My God,
right? Oh. How often do you look back at newborn photos of your baby?
Daily. Yeah.
So if you've got your little beautiful baby, just know we are super jealous that you've got your newborn child right now.
I know. And if you're feeding right now or something, like, it is so freaking hard. We feel you. We get you. It is hard, but I promise you there's an end to it. It gets better and you will miss it.
There is light at the end of the tunnel. I had this thought today when I visited my friend with a newborn. I'm holding this perfect, silent, sleeping newborn, and there's like 4-5 toddlers just cutting sick, running loose, and I'm like,
give me a bucket right now.
Give me a newborn and you keep the toddlers.
Honestly, toddlers are hard.
Not to compare stages, but that newborn, silent, delicious. And what is it with newborns? Like, they just naturally have the cutest expressions.
Oh my God, so beautiful. Everything.
Everything they do is perfect. Like, they move their hand and it's naturally in photogenic, the cutest possible position. Oh,
hell. Moral, guys, soak it in.
Which I'm sure you're already doing.
Yeah, but it's freaking hard. So, yeah, you can complain as well. It's all hard. You want. You deserve to complain.
We'll listen to your complaining because you deserve to complain.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about wraps up this episode. So just a quick episode all about newborn survival tips and just some advice from us. If you want it, if you don't.
We'll be back in your ears next Wednesday with Shelley from Good Little Eaters. So if you have a fussy child or you're just a mum who stresses about every meal your child eats, this episode will be for you.
Definitely. She is amazing. So make sure you tune into that one if you have any food queries, like I'm sure many people do, including us. And yes, also make sure to jump over on Instagram or Facebook and follow us at ourcrazynormal_thepodcast. We're quite active over there and have a little community. So come join us.
Beautiful.
Bye.
Bye, guys.